Good morning, everyone. It's Sasha here. Ohayo gozaimasu, yes. Let's confuse ourselves even more. We were waiting for the interpreter for a moment, actually. There was no interpreter. All right. Before we take your questions, we want to address something that... Can you see the board with the darkness?
Yes?
Okay. We want to address something that has been a little bit of a question and wondering that some of you have had. And, you know, when we're talking about a lot of this idea of channeling and who the energies are that you're channeling, it's often very difficult to understand conceptually what's happening. And it's kind of like the realities don't fit, meaning the greater reality from which a lot of the energies come that are channeling through you doesn't really overlay easily on the physical reality. But yet, because you exist in the physical reality, you attempt to understand the realm of the energies with a mind that is trying to figure it out from the physical reality. You understand what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that means then that when we talk about this, we have to use metaphor. We have to go back to the idea of metaphor again. So we're going to use a little bit of a diagram and a metaphor, but we want you to understand right up front that it's not literally what we're saying. We're trying to express an idea. Okay, so we'll do the best we can. So we're going to draw here on the board a human with no neck. He's sitting in lotus. Okay? All right, that's a new kind of human. We haven't drawn that one before. And we're going to draw layers of energy around this human. So it looks like layers of an onion, kind of. If you can imagine then that the highest layer is, we're going to draw an eye there to represent the one, okay? So if the highest layer is the one, from the one comes the fractals. We think Ben was talking about this a little bit yesterday. From the one comes the fractals. And again, it's a metaphor, but as the fractals approach the human, they become more fractalized, so to speak, or more separated, or more, let's say, individualized. Okay? Therefore, the human layer, the human level of the onion is the, let's say, the most separated, the deepest fractalization that you can go. And the one layer is, or the layer of the one, is the less fractalized, or the more integrated layer. So you understand so far? All right, so, and again, we're going to keep reminding you of this just to make sure the mind doesn't grip this idea too rigidly. If you are channeling, let's say, a singular-ish being with an identity, like Sasha, it would be one of these layers, so to speak, that are closest to the human fractal. So we're going to put Sasha there. Okay? Now, we do have to say that because humankind's spirituality has been hierarchical for eons, that you have to kind of step out of this idea of hierarchy, meaning that those who are more fractalized or less spiritual, that is not at all entering this equation. It has more to do with whether we as entities choose to use the idea of individuality as a tool to help us communicate with you in a way that humans can understand and embrace and apply in the physical reality. You follow? Okay, so you have Sasha there. Now, if we are to progressively move up the layers then, so to speak, we're going to get to a point where, let's say, one of these outer layers would be an energy like Germaine. And even though Germaine has a name, the name is really just a point of focus, so to speak, for his energy, because humans need that. But as you know with Germaine, he's a very, very large energy system. And that energy system, while very integrated and while it contains, so to speak, the smaller fractals of itself, it is still not at the level of the one. But we would say it's kind of at the outer limits, so to speak, of the energies that humans can work with in a constructive way, verbally and conceptually on the earth. So when you go then to these realms, let's say, that are approaching the one, where you kind of have gone beyond the ability to label something, or the labels become very meaningless or vague, that's really when you've started to enter the deep quantum consciousness, like the soup. And in that soup, which of course we're using a liquid metaphor, so in that liquidity, there isn't a lot of differentiation. In the new book that Lisa has been working on, called The Golden Lake, and actually we think maybe we talked about this in one of the Storm Wisdom sessions in Phoenix, the idea of this lake being a metaphor for this quantum state of consciousness is used a lot in the book as a way to keep reminding the readers of your true nature. Because your true nature is that nature of liquidity that is beyond the fractalization or the ability to separate enough for identification. Okay? So when then you do contact work, we'd say at least half of you, maybe more than half of you here in this room have done contact. Is this feeding back? Is it okay?
Yeah. Let me turn it down just a little.
For those of you that have done contact work, in the last few years, you've known that sometimes we talk about something called a quantum map. And on that quantum map is representing of a journey that one's consciousness takes as they go through the merging back into the one. And that quantum level of consciousness is the common ground upon which all consciousness can meet. So what we're talking about here is, it's a similar type of quantum map, but we're trying to express it in connection with the idea of channeling. Okay? So this area of liquidity then is the area where when you start working with energies there, you, even as a channel, start losing your sharp individuation. And this is one of the reasons why when you do this kind of work in the way you're doing it in this class, and you're burning away some of the layers of the ego that have kept you stuck in separation, that you start to feel almost like a detachment from your human life in a different way. It's not that you become schizophrenic or anything like that, but the physical things start mattering less and less as you go deeper into the quantum energy. All right, so now we sense a tangent coming, but we're not going to take it. We want to get back to the topic here because we know we want to have time for your questions. All right, so let's say then you are the channel and an energy is blending with you. All energies, with no exceptions, originate at the source. Okay? But, as you know, they fractalize. So, you as the channel then are a receiver. But, there can be interference in the reception. Now, interference is a harsh word, and we don't mean it that way. We're not using it as a judgment. We're using it more like mechanics. For example, if you have someone who is super polarized or super even mentally ill, now, no one in this room falls into that category, so we're not secretly talking about one of you. They have then, their receptor is tuned to the frequency of their consciousness. So if there's super mental illness, or if there is super narcissism, let's say, as an example, then any energy that comes to you through the channeling process is filtered through that mechanism. The energy's origins are always the source, but they can only express themselves based on the condition of the receiver. Okay? Now, we have said this message many times, and so has Lisa, in many different forms. And this is the reason why so much work is done on the internal level to facilitate integration within you. Because otherwise, there's really no point for doing channeling work except as entertainment, because you kind of keep yourself in that realm of disintegration rather than integration. You understand what we mean? Okay, so many of you have been asking the questions about what is this energy. So we can use Ben and Solitaire as examples here, because both of you have kind of had these questions. Now, in Ben's case, he's working with an Arcturus energy. So Arcturus energy, by its nature, is not as fractalized. And therefore, it's much more integrated. But yet, when he's channeling it, he's still having some maybe doubts or insecurity or whatever it is, trust things, which is very common for channels. All of those issues are the issues within him that are coming to the surface to be released. So the reason they're coming up is so you can see them. And as you work with them by using channeling as a catalyst, so to speak, those issues start, in a sense, burning away. And they already have in your particular case, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay. So the disorientation or confusion, sometimes it's different energies, or you're wondering, is it a group? Is it singular? When you get to those levels of energies, you're kind of straddling two worlds. The energies, Arcturus energy by its nature, is not singular, but yet they understand the value of the singularity in order to express themselves through a human. So what it's doing for you then is it's triggering your consciousness, your inner self, your human self, to step up, so to speak. That in order to move to the level you want to move to with your channeling work, that you bump up against whatever those issues are. Make sense? And as we said, we're going to repeat, everybody has issues. So it's not any black stain on your soul or anything like that. It's just the way humans are. And this is why this process of channeling can be such an amazingly valuable tool for spiritual awakening. So then, before we move to solitaire, does this answer something for you, or does it trigger another question?
No, I believe that answers more than triggers. Because there's just that human part of me that's trying to identify rather than just let it be what it is.
Yes. And you know, that part likely will never fully go away. So don't expect it to, and then judge when it doesn't. It's just that as time goes on, even though the curiosity to know is still there, that the importance about it will start to fade. That it won't tug at you in the same way that maybe it does sometimes now. And that's just a process of, you know, broken record, practice, practice, practice. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have a idea now about the consciousness systems you're working with? Does it make it
a
little clearer?
It's becoming a lot more clearer now. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Solitaire, what we've said in your case, does it trigger questions or does it clarify things?
No, it helps to clarify because I'm hitting a lot of my issues each time I channel.
Yeah, okay. Now, the difference between you and Ben in terms of your channeling is that right now Ben is, he's got a really strong connection with the Arcturus energy, and a lot of it is because he's a healer. So he's working in a different way than you. So now this can change, of course, in the future, but for right now, the most compatible energy for him to work with is the Arcturus and the group consciousness energies. For you, though, you have a little bit of both going on. So you have some of the energies that are similar to Sasha or Hamon, where they are actually individual beings, so to speak. Perhaps more evolved beings, but in individuals just the same, even though their consciousness is a little bit more tuned to the whole. But you also have group energies too. So you've got quite a lot going on, actually. With Ben, now this is not meant to be, well, we'll just say it as it is. With Ben, it's kind of very, very smooth and calm energy, balanced energy, which is typical of Arcturus energy. With you, there's so much going on, it actually kind of mirrors your life. No offense. There's individual beings, there's group beings, there's future selves, there's basically this big party. Part of it has to do with this feeling we sense that you've carried from other existences where you felt like you wasted time in some of your lives. And so you chose to come to Earth at a time when things were really heightened and that you could get as much as possible in terms of experience and growth. So that's part of why there's always so much going on with you. So do not be surprised then and concerned in any way when the energies might change a lot. Sometimes it's more group energies, maybe less physical, and sometimes maybe some very specific individual beings. We sense that that's probably going to go on a little bit longer, especially because it's triggering your issues and it's helping you work through them. Make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, so in the context of this model then, and we assume it probably triggered questions and things for those of you. What we'll try to do is, for anyone who has questions, we'll try to make sure that everyone gets one question. Okay? So who wants to use their question next?
I'll go. This is funny. Where does light language fit in that?
Where does light language fit in? Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Because no one's asked that question yet. Okay, so we have to use metaphor again here. When we talk about the higher quantum level of consciousness, there is no way that that quantum level of consciousness itself can be expressed in the human level. So it has to be felt, or it has to be experienced rather than talked about, if that makes sense. So at the same time, though, humans have the primary means of communication being language. So if the quantum energy, that quantum consciousness, if it's time for it to start seeping into the lower levels, lower being relative, not negative, the lower levels of separation, it's going to have to find a vehicle through which it can work. Language being the top thing humans use to communicate would be the way it is choosing right now to be noticed. It can work through you energetically in more subtle ways, but that's not always noticed. Language is noticed. So for some of you then, for whom maybe your issues are such that you are more comfortable working in bringing through energy in that way, the light language is becoming an option. Now, one of the questions might be, why has this light language thing suddenly come up? Like, now there have been people speaking in tongues and things like that for centuries, but lately, within what you call the metaphysical circles, why is this suddenly happening now more than ever before? And we could say it is because you are accessing those quantum levels in your consciousness much more now than you ever have been. That is a good sign that validates the integration process going on. So we go back then to the idea that for some people, the light, we're not saying this is you, okay, but for some people, a smaller percentage, the light language is a way to hide themselves. And Michelle, we're not necessarily talking about you either, so don't start thinking, oh, she's talking about me. To hide themselves from pain and keep themselves stuck and not move forward. Okay, we have seen those cases before. But in other cases, or the majority of cases, we would say the light language is a transitional phase that helps you tune into those quantum frequencies. And those quantum frequencies can, in a sense, recalibrate you to be able to eventually understand, and it doesn't have to be intellectually understanding, but understand what is coming through you. Now, you've said that started to happen for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for you, we really do sense that it is, that integration process is going to continue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the light language will disappear, and it might still be your primary method. We don't know that. No one knows that right now. You just follow the process and you will see. But We don't sense it's ever really going to go away for you, but there's going to be an integration. Okay, does that answer?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, so Michelle, now, in the experience Lisa mentioned yesterday when you were in the room next door and she saw your past life, and others of you have seen her past life also, where she could not speak, we would say in this case, there's actually a lot of different... Now, we hope we're not taking your question. You didn't even ask the question, and now we're talking about you. Is it okay if we talk about this?
Yes.
Okay. See, she doesn't speak, and she still gets her questions answered. So, in her case, there's a lot of different things going on. There are some past life traumas that are being healed. That's one thing going on, and you know some of those lifetimes, so, and the details are not so important. Other things has to do with actually your relationship with Bobby, because there were lifetimes where you have been in service with her many times. Why are you laughing? You know that to be true?
Something's going on.
All right. So you are so used to working together.
Yes.
That's another thing where this is kind of an easy way to start connecting. And some of it also has to do with recalibration for the shifts that you're going through internally. So for you, it's kind of a storm of things right now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Is there something... Well, do you want to use your question card?
No, I didn't have a question.
Okay. All right. So that makes sense then, yes?
Yes.
Okay. You did have a question, but okay, we answered it. All right, who else?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So in thinking about how different ways of expressing the channeling experience in my life, one of the things I was thinking about was creative writing, and it seems like there are stories that want to be told, perhaps, that
yes.
you channel from galactic history or other civilizations.
Yes.
And maybe other writers are doing this. Maybe some of them are aware of it. Maybe some of them are not. I mean, what do you have any comments on just the role, that role?
Yes, for sure. Most of what you call the great science fiction on your world is indeed tapped into some of those old stories from galactic history. Star Wars, as an example, is a very simplified version, actually, of the old Lyran Empire. Some people think it's Orion, but it's actually older than that. So that would be the old Lyran Empire and moving into the beginnings of the Orion Empire. The Dune series is old Orion stuff. Okay, so Gordon, you have definitely the capacity to do that. And it is indeed a form of channeling. Now, you're going to find, though, this type of writing feels different. It's very hard to describe, but the Gordon person... When you're doing this type of writing, the Gordon person vanishes. So it kind of takes you over, and we don't mean that in a negative sense. And it is, in a sense, transmissions, so to speak. It's not like someone's sending in at the other end. We guess you could say it's almost like a Akashic Record connection. Mm-hmm. And if you have writing skills, then they can connect and then express through the writing. So you were talking, he was talking with Lisa yesterday at lunch about a story that was brewing in his mind. And what he didn't know was Lisa had channeled basically that story a couple of years ago, and it was going to be in the new book. It has to do with Mars. Now, we don't know whether you were receiving Mars or a specific planet or whatever, but it's a story that has happened many times. It's not just Mars. Okay? Because, you know, what is it Shakespeare said? Nothing new is under the sun. Everything repeats. So we're going to definitely encourage you to follow that thread if that is the one calling you right now. And yes, we look forward to hearing about it or reading it through Lisa. Yes. Anything else? All right. Someone else?
I have a question, Sasha.
Did he use his question card? No, he didn't. He didn't. Oh, you sneaky. You sneaky. You are so sneaky. All right.
Okay, so I don't know exactly how to ask this, but part of the reason why I wanted to learn channeling was because I know there's information I'm trying to bring down from spirit into the earth plane that doesn't exist here yet. But it seems that everything I channel is something that I already know is said.
Yes.
So, I guess, am I going to be able to pull down this information, or is there a way for me to?
You mean the ego wants to know, how can I do it right now when I want to do it? Yes. We love the human egos. We're just teasing you. Absolutely. The answer is yes. But here's the frustrating answer. It comes in the timing. So, for example, if we are to use Lisa as an example, she's done a lot of work for 30 years, but there were two main things that, in a sense, she was supposed to complete. Now, we're not saying only two, we're saying up until this point in time. The Prism of Lyra book and the cards. They were the main things her soul had, in a sense, contracted, or whatever you want to say. Not that the other books weren't part of it, but those were like the main things. However, they come and, in a sense, take you over when it's time. And again, when we say take you over, we don't mean that in a negative way. But it becomes very clear, and it just starts downloading. So what you can do is that you cannot speed up the process, you cannot find a way to circumvent anything. What you can do is continue to do the work as you've been doing in clearing yourself and stretching yourself in your abilities. And when you get to a point, you know, it's always paradox. When you get to a point where it doesn't even matter anymore, and yet you are really fully embracing and enjoying what you're doing, that's usually the time that it comes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, now, are you speaking of something within the healing modality?
Well, there's a couple things. There's certain things to create new healing technologies or healing modalities, but there's also, I feel like, Arcturian history. That I want to pull, that's like right there in the nebulous of my consciousness waiting to be pulled down.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, because that is a missing piece.
Yes.
Now, we point to, there was a big missing piece in Syrian history until recently. And when even Germain, the great historian, was not speaking of it, and it took Hamon to kind of crack the egg open, so to speak, in the correct timing. We sense, in terms of Arcturian history, one of the reasons it's vague right now is because if you think about the nature of their consciousness, that type of information wouldn't be fully understood right now on the earth. Maybe by a handful of people, because human consciousness has to get to a certain level in order to really understand it. You are moving to that place as a species. Almost there, not quite yet. The shadow stuff has to come first. So it's all in galactic timing. But we don't see any reason why not that you can work with this. But there has to be an acceptance of the idea of the timing.
Okay. Thank you.
Go for it, my dear.
Yeah.
Someone else?
I'll go next.
All right.
Hi, Sasha.
Ah, Mayumi-chan.
Well, I'll always see you in Japan, but I never have a chance to talk to you in person like this. So I'm so honored that I get to do this.
We were a little confused for a moment. Yeah. It's wonderful to see you here.
Yeah, and my question is very simple. Why am I following Lisa all over the world? And I can't afford it. Should I start worrying about my finances?
You should never start worrying about anything. You can create boundaries, however, for yourself if you wish.
Okay.
No, we would say that you are sensing something in the work that Lisa does that is awakening something within yourself. Mm-hmm. So that part of yourself that's bringing you that's draining your bank account is that's making the airlines rich, that it is considered by that part of yourself a good investment in you.
Yes.
It's hard to see that right now. Mm-hmm. However, in retrospect, we do believe you're going to see a shift. You've already seen one, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there may come a point when you feel that you don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the human part might be a little sad because I want to go to this workshop or that workshop. But listen to that inner voice, because you will get what you need when you need it. And part of what the work we're doing with all of you is to put ourselves out of business, so to speak, so that you don't need these voices anymore, but you can listen to the one within you. Meanwhile, we are having so much fun with you. We hope you win the lottery. Not for our sake, we don't care about the money, but human money, yes, it's just paper. But so that you can have a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
I think joy is a theme in this.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hello, Jenny.
Oh.
Oh, she just lost.
There was some kind of prompt on the screen that was
okay.
Didn't see it was mine.
Someone else?
I can ask a question.
Feiji?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to know, is when we channel, is it important to know where the information is coming from? Like, what is the source? Because a lot of time I may be just getting like an image or a sentence or some information download, but I never seem to know where it came from. So I'd like to know if that's important to be able to identify where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. Your situation is a little bit different. It's actually more similar to Lisa's in certain ways. For you, you access a lot of information on this level, like the germain level, let's say. And that level is very hard to identify itself. It has gone by many names on your world, the germain consciousness, because it's a galactic collective. So it's not necessary for you to know where it's coming from, and actually information from those levels, those more integrated, more vast levels that are bordering on that quantum consciousness, it's hard for them to identify themselves to. So we really don't want you to worry about knowing the source of it. However, well, let's ask you this. Can you, when you're accessing the information, can you sense a certain frequency and different ones if it's different energies? Or does it all feel the same?
There may be some slight variation if it's coming from my future self.
Exactly.
Or something bigger. I think I can sense the difference.
Yes.
But still not very specific.
Yes, yes. Well, you know the reason for that, because your future self and some of the other energies are part of that energy system that you are tapping into. And you really identify more with the energy system than the individual energies. So that's why it's very vague. If you really want to, you can keep asking for clarity, and even asking in a way that's kind of like, this is an example to the energy. I understand that identity is not what is important to you. However, it helps us on the human level if you can give me a symbol or a name or a phrase or some way that I can come to identify it with your energy. And you might hear a word, you might hear a name, like, just an example, it's not this, but like starlight or something like that. And even just something simple like that can, while it is not the name of the energy, it's a way to identify with it, and that is enough. But it really isn't necessary. However, we feel for you, though, that as you continue to grow your confidence, that it's going to become a little bit more definitive or a little bit more identifiable. Mm-hmm. As we look at your energy through this class, you have, we don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we see that you've made a lot of growth in your confidence and in your inner strength. You said you went through a little bit of a challenging period in the last few months, so that also helped as well. Mm-hmm. But you're still on that road, and we sense it's going to keep going and get more clarity for you. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Okay. My experience in tuning in with energies can almost feel overwhelming, because I'm such a feeling being that the bridge between just being immersed in the feeling and then being able to speak it is where, like, for me that's a challenge. So I was wondering if there's any advice for how to develop myself a little to be able to bring it in clearly without my mind being, you know, controlling it and managing the level of just, you know, the emotional feelings of the energies.
So we want to really understand what you're asking. So can you, in terms of the experience you had yesterday with, what was her name? Angelica?
Mm-hmm.
Can you ask the question using that as an example, that experience? Hopefully you know what we're asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were things where Lisa was asking me questions and the truth of the answer was came through my feeling body very intensely, but then to interpret that into words and to speak what I was feeling of the impression of the energies.
So your answers come through feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. So when Lisa talks about pulling the string.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of a download, which is more like intellectual,
yeah.
your strings are not those kinds of strings, right? It's more like pulling the emotional string?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you all follow what we're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
So, the emotional body moves slower. If you're to look at it, let's say, the rabbit and the hare, yes? The hare is the mind. All over the place. Which can be efficient for the intellect in certain ways, and with channeling in certain ways. But the turtle is more the emotional body. So that means, at least for now, you do have to give yourself the space and the time to slowly pull the string. Okay? Now, it's not always going to be like this. Now, of course, in a circumstance like a channeling exercise, we know that you might be feeling like, hurry up, hurry up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a time, and there's not much that can be done about that with the artificial time constraints, but we want you to be aware that, for example, if you're working in a group, let's say Angelica comes in a group, and let's say the communication is coming slowly because it's coming through the emotional body. You have to act as the interpreter.
Yeah.
Okay, your mind does, but you have to give yourself the space and the time to do that. So our recommendation is when you're with a group, you can say, if you are present enough to do this, you can say to the group, okay, I've got the emotional download, now I have to unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And give yourself the time, and you might find ways that are easier and ways that are more difficult, like maybe later, after you wake up, you might find that that can be when you can express it, or maybe not. Just play with different ways, but don't push yourself on a time frame.
Okay.
And we would say, Solitaire, don't worry about her anymore. She's okay. She's okay. Yes, the information that Lisa got about your relationship yesterday was spot on. She's a little bit protective of you, and that's okay. It comes from a lot of love. So if you are Solitaire with her in a group, actually, it would be real, much like the way Michelle and Bobby work together, it would be very interesting for you to help her specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help both of you, actually. Because you're the hare. You're the rabbit, yes? And she's the turtle. So working together is going to balance both of your energies. It'll help you slow down, and it will help, it'll give you some feminine energy, and it'll give her some masculine energy, so to speak. So play with it a little bit.
Thank you.
There's going to be ways to translate what you're saying. You're just in process. You're in the middle of the process right now.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, excellent. All right, someone else?
I have a question.
Dixie?
I'm just curious as to why deceased spirits come to me to give messages.
This is fairly new for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it happened a long time ago, just a couple of times, but I guess I didn't focus on it.
Yes, okay. There's one really very simple but yet powerful reason. And it really doesn't have to do with the diagram we made up here. It doesn't mean that you're stuck in the polarity or anything. It's more that it's the opposite. There's an aspect of your consciousness that is very at peace. Even though, of course, you have your pains and your issues and things, there's an aspect of your consciousness that's very at peace. And those energies don't feel judged. They feel welcomed by you. So when you were doing the work in this class, you kind of, heightened that peace, and it became like a little light, like a moth to a flame kind of light, you know, where beings really were attracted to it that needed a little bit of assistance. But what's interesting, though, is what you were talking about a little bit yesterday. It's usually people that are connected to you somehow, friends of a friend or something like that. Like, you're not going into supermarkets or bars and being barraged by these energies. And that's because the gatekeeper, your gatekeeper, which we could just say higher self and your team, has not really felt that was an experience you needed to have, that kind of mediumship, but that you could definitely be of service to those that occasionally might need assistance with whom you're connected. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go all out and, you know, give people big readings or anything. You do what feels right for you. Now, is there any resistance to this at all?
No.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Maybe a little bit, because I keep thinking I have to have pen and paper in hand. If someone's going to give me a message, I can't remember it unless I can write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some resistance, like, don't do it right now because
You're not ready.
Yes.
So if you say, can you wait till I get home, do they come at that time then? Or is the window closed?
They come at very unexpected times.
Well,
I'm brushing my teeth. I'm getting out of the shower. I'm sitting waiting for somebody. It's just like I don't know when they're going to come.
So someone made the joke yesterday, you just need to wear a notebook around your neck. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, to some degree, we would say there's some truth to that joke. Just try to have different, maybe, stations in your car or in your home or whatever to write. But if you're absolutely in a situation like you're in the toilet at a movie theater or something and you have nothing, then that's the time to practice saying, okay, I really do want to hear your message and I'm asking you to please wait until I call you and tell you I'm ready, but I'm welcoming it. And then when you go home and you get to your desk or whatever, call it. And then this is a good training. See what happens.
Okay.
Okay? Very interesting.
May I use a card to ask a question about Dixie?
Whose card are you using?
I don't know. Does anybody not have...
Is there a wild card in the... All right, we'll make it quick.
When we were doing healings yesterday, I got a sense, I don't know if it's past life or a potential thing she's capable of doing, but I got this sense that she could channel ancient libraries,
mm-hmm.
like Alexandria, or things in the etheric or Akashic record or whatever, but that she could channel information in the etheric realms that either could move us forward or bring us more insight from things that used to be here that we forgot.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell her that?
I did not.
Ah, so you're hearing for the first time.
And I'm getting all kinds of goosebumps.
Okay, there you go. You know our answer then. Answer is in the goosebumps.
Exactly. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Jenny has a question.
Yes, Jenny.
Hi, Sasha.
Hello, my dear. We're used to seeing each other this way.
I'd like to get through that window, but it's not allowing me to come through yet. Okay, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like the caterpillar. I have come into a place of mush. I'm inside of a cocoon, and it's a process of doing the work that I've been asked and told that I should do. And I don't really know how to go about it. I mean, I have all kinds of thoughts, and there's almost too much on my plate. So I'm asking for your suggestion. Except maybe more than one, but whatever you suggest.
Well, Our suggestion is, it's kind of a funny suggestion, it's more of a human suggestion, but in your reality, you have to take one thing at a time.
Yes.
And you don't really like doing that.
No. Lots of balls in the air.
Yes. So, now we're not saying you have to put everything else on the shelf, but what we're saying, it's a cultivation for you of your consciousness moment by moment. Meaning that, okay, it's 10 a.m., what am I going to put my full presence with right now? And whatever it is that you're choosing to put your full presence, whether it's answering emails or whether it's doing a meditation or whatever, put your full presence as if nothing else exists. And when you've finished that, then you can think about the next thing. Okay? So it's cultivating the present moment awareness, really. And you know in class, the last time you took the class, you had difficulty with some of the meditations. You would check out, yes?
Yes, I still have that problem.
Okay, but you said it was getting better. Is it still getting better? Okay.
Yeah, it's better. Sometimes, though, I'm gone.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of that issue of an avoidance of the present moment, because the present moment isn't really what you want to experience.
Oh.
Does that trigger something?
I didn't realize I didn't want to experience it, but.
Well, how personal can we be, my dear? Because everyone's listening.
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay. You know, for the present moment, for your present moment, there's a lot of physical pain.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of emotional pain.
Yes.
So over time, you have learned that the present moment isn't really where you want to be. And you've created a mechanism now to avoid the present moment.
Which is through my mind.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so when the mind is doing all of the jumping around, it's a great way to distract you from the present moment.
Yes. So all of these things are coming to the point where, yes, I'm basically kind of grounded and I can't do that. And I'm willing to recognize that.
Yes. Yes. We sense, you know, we've been working with you for several years now. We do sense that you are recognizing these things and there is a shift. And as you know, very often there's a lot more pain and a lot more yuckiness that comes up.
Yeah.
When you're in the middle of that shift.
Right.
So that's really where you're at right now. And you're going to find that when you start doing this work, it is a training. You've got to retrain yourself from certain habits.
Yes.
And as you, it's a process, it takes time, but as you start doing it, you're going to notice little victories, little shifts, little by little by little, incremental shifts. And it is going to take work in the terms of diligence within your own consciousness, but it is definitely doable.
Okay, that's great. Well, I've cleared my plate mostly, so that I now have no reasons to.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why we're feeling more ill now, because it's like really a loud. Clarion call, if you will, from your higher consciousness saying, okay, deal with this now.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, very much.
All right. Gambate, ne? Go for it. Yes.
Gambarimasu.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Someone else?
I have a question.
Barb?
As we're going through this, what you may call the ascension process,
Can you talk about physical effects on our body from it? Like, for example, the things I'm experiencing are memory loss, where it feels like I'm just getting more and more disconnected, and I can't remember stuff, and it's causing me problems at my job. Even I was talking to Harry earlier about my husband's uvitis, and I'm like, I can't really remember. I just it seems like my mind is disconnecting from my body. And then also, ringing in the ears has, like, gone to, like, this new level now to where it's getting hard to sleep at night. And I don't know, are these things medical problems? Or are they just because of all the meditation I do and all the work I'm doing? Do I need to worry about them? And what other kind of things do people in general expect to happen physically as they start shifting?
Well, you know, there's a whole list of things.
I know. Yeah.
So everybody has their own unique cocktail, so to speak.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to put the disclaimer in here, you know, in case the AMA is listening.
Yeah.
But if it's a physical issue, of course, see your doctor, yes? If it's something like really noticeably physical. But the ringing in the ears and the memory, as an example, are also very tied to the energetic shift. Now, the particular thing we want to address is the memory, because Lisa has been having similar, Ronald, many, many, many people have been having similar experience. The best way to describe it is a metaphor. Okay, those of you old enough, we think most people in here are old enough to remember cassette tapes. Right? So you have, let's say it's a book on tape. So you have the beginning, the middle, and the end on the tape. And if you want to listen to the end, you have to fast forward. So we're talking about something analog or something linear. Okay? Third density memory is like that cassette tape. It's analog. It's linear. And, of course, you've all been living from that third density framework for a very, very long time. Now, when you go to a CD or even a digital file, not even the physical CD, you can access any point in the song at any time. That's more holographic, the beginnings of the holographic idea. All right. So fourth density memory is more like that. It's more holographic, where you can more easily access different points, but it means operating like with a whole new software, so to speak. So when you try to operate, when you try to operate in that fourth density realm using third density principles, they just don't match. Which is why sometimes you might have a spontaneous memory about something in the moment and you don't need it. Where when you're trying to remember the name of your colleague in the moment that you need it, you can't remember it. That discomfort right now is a product of the shift, because there's still a little bit of an overlap with both of those analog and digital realities, so to speak. So that's one idea regarding the memory. Now, we know that in your work life, as an example, it might not be reasonable to ask you to apply fourth density principles in the moment you need something. However, you're not really going to be able to force the way you used to be.
So is that transition just going to naturally occur when you relearn how to access
yes.
this stuff?
Yes.
Is there something I can do to facilitate that, or is it just going to come eventually?
For you particularly, now the if everyone in the class asked that question, maybe everybody's answer would be different. But for you, it's actually connected to the healing session that you had in your group yesterday. For you, it's the integration of the feminine energy.
Oh. And the unstructured.
Oh.
And the unstructured. And the ears ringing are attached to the kidneys, which is the fear of moving into that.
Oh, wow.
He said it.
Wow. Okay.
So that's why it came up for you yesterday, and it's also why you're asking the question now, because this is pointing to your next work, internal work.
Wow, great.
And it's a whole different ball game then.
It feels like it.
Yes. So the body symptoms then, there are so many different ones, we can't really review them, but that's why we say if it's something really obviously out of balance, of course, see your whoever practitioner. But there's a lot of really weird ones that are just part of the shift. Weird fevers or achiness or ringing in the ears or even, what is that? The dizziness, there's another word for it. Vertigo, yes. All very, very common, unfortunately.
The switch from the doer to the beer is the big happening.
Yes.
Yeah,
which goes back yesterday to what Lisa was saying about the solar plexus and the heart energies shifting. And again, the meditation you were given yesterday can help with that too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Who wants to use their card?
I will.
Yes.
So I don't have a specific question. It's more or less, I'm opening it up. If you have any advice, perceptions, for me personally as part of the channeling process, and more for their group, specifically the Phoenix group that I'm working with.
Well, it was joked yesterday that you were the dark horse, yes?
Yeah.
So you have surprised everyone with this beautiful, strong, hybrid Esasani energy that you've been channeling. And, well, let's ask you this.
Okay.
We'll use our question card. Now that you've been actively doing more of the channeling work, and we assume you're feeling a little bit more comfortable with it, yes?
Yes.
Have you noticed an integration or a shift that's happening in your personal life? Like with your ability to manage the stress from your job and your emotional flows?
Yeah, I do feel more detached from it.
Okay.
I'm a little worried because I feel like I'm really losing a lot of a lot of things falling apart in my life,
mm-hmm.
physically, you know, things falling apart, and I'm not having the time to fix them. So I'm detaching from the...
You mean like cars and things like...
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Refrigerator, you know,
yes, yes.
Are kind of necessary for our physical...
Yes, yes, yes. Well, the interesting... symbology there is, it's kind of course, yes, you do have to deal with it, okay, the fridge and things like that, but it's also a message for you that's saying it is okay that you don't have to fix everything that you see that's wrong inside of yourself. You are fine just the way you are. It might look like the message is apparent is paradoxical because you're having all these issues that you need to fix, but it's kind of training you that okay, you can fix these things that are essentials out there.
Yeah.
But what's in here has no need to be fixed. It just needs to be loved. So we asked you that question because maybe a year ago or sometime we've spoken to you, we don't know the time, it was a sense of a little bit of that you've carried through your life a lot, a kind of emotional storm of not knowing how to deal with your emotions.
Yes.
Ah, yes, you have that interesting astrology, don't you?
Yes.
What is it?
I have my astrological sign, my sun's, my rising sign, and my moon sign are all Sagittarius.
Yes. Okay. Lots of fire, and you've been trying to kind of put the lid on the fire.
Yes.
Instead of allowing the fire to serve your growth, because you've not really understood what that means. In the case of people who have a lot of fire, the fire can be used, we want the right word. The fire can be used vigorously, is not the right word, but we're going to use it anyway. The fire can be used vigorously to burn the ego. Mm-hmm. Right? It has a positive function. So instead of trying to fight against your nature, you can learn to embrace your nature, not in a destructive way, but in an alchemical way or a transformative way. Now, we feel that you've started to do that already, a little bit.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And so, because you've started to do that already, the fire has become more manageable, like you felt it differently within you, which is that detachment that you're starting to feel. Make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, very much so.
So the channeling then has actually helped to balance things out, which is why for you we're going to say that to keep going as you're doing, let the process be your teacher.
Yeah.
And keep going, because also that fire energy is helping to fuel the strength in your channeling, which you didn't know was there. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right. So maybe you can look at that aspect of yourself that you previously judged or were uncomfortable with in a new light.
Yeah, thank you.
Very welcome. Next card.
Okay. I'm feeling a prod on here. Cattle prod. I don't ever feel myself in a vehicle in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel or sense the string dangling.
Okay.
So what can you do, say, to help me in those areas?
You know, we're going to annoy you with a metaphor, but if you're looking forward, you can't see the string that's hanging behind you. So we know that's like one of those annoying Zen metaphors, maybe. But with you, there is absolutely no blockage of input coming from spirit. But you've trained yourself to only look in one direction. There's nothing wrong with that, because you've been trained with a lot of different techniques and things. And you could go from this day forward and continue to do your work the way you've been doing it, and there's nothing wrong with that. What we're just saying is that sometimes when one becomes too familiar with working with a certain way, they don't allow themselves to jump into the unknown. So there is still that fear of going into a realm that is unknown, or as sometimes you say, unsafe, a feeling of unsafe.
Yes.
Okay. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, then all of that, of course, we're not going to say anything you don't already know, but all of that comes from whatever issues are there that are still in the process of being healed. So nothing's wrong, but what could really benefit you in terms of a next step, and again, sorry we have to speak in metaphors, but is that when you're doing the work, practice, for instance, in the group, that when you're trying to feel the string, look in a different direction for the string. than you. Does that make sense? We know it's a metaphor, but it's what they're giving us.
Sure. I mean, I do.
Okay. And so when you look in a different direction for the string, it's going to be a place that's unknown to you or unfamiliar to you. So it's kind of like learning to expand your safety zone, so to speak. Or your comfort zone, that's the word. Learning to expand your comfort zone until your comfort zone contains the string. And in that case, then, we just see the lot of energy available to you for your work. Mm-hmm. A lot more than you realize. But you've just not seen it because of that vision. That we don't want to say tunnel vision, but you understand what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Just looking in one direction. So that's the biggest advice right now is, and those of you who are in the groups with her and work with her, mm-hmm. maybe you can at times, if you feel it's the right time, lovingly remind her to look in another direction, so to speak, whatever that means. We're being told that by whoever's telling us this information for you, you're part of your team, they're not revealing themselves, that what we're saying is going to make sense to some of these other people too when they work with you, when you guys are all supporting each other. So you can help her by we keep pointing to Jane, but there you go, by reminding her, look in another direction. Feel in another direction. Learn to sense in a different way. Because you absolutely have the capability. You have no idea how much of this stuff you have done in other lives. Stuff that even right now you think is the weird stuff. You've done it all. You have done it all and then some. So that sense of familiarity may also start to come back, even though right now it doesn't, maybe you don't think that that's possible, but does that help?
Yes, and Gordon gave me a wonderful reading the other day and told me that I had a sister, Cassandra, who was going to help me cross that threshold. And she and I used to do this, I suppose, like you said, when we were preparing a meal or something. What happened to her? Was she killed because of what she was channeling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Could that have set me up?
Yes.
Okay. For fear then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You saw what happened to her. She was the light in your life. You're in some ways a mentor, even though you helped each other. And it was almost like, in a twisted way, you felt it was a tribute to her if you stopped this stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But she... Gordon, did you say if she coming back or she's reconnecting?
The question was what energies might be wanting
to... Okay. Yes, because we sense her. She's not super close, but she's hanging around. And the reason she's not super close is she's afraid that if you feel her, that it will actually trigger you in the wrong direction. Like, oh my God, no! And then just shut down more kind of thing. So she's going to kind of wait and maybe, you know, sneak a little bit and so that you can get used to her energy again and see how you respond to it. So, but she's definitely there, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Beautiful.
Who's left?
I'll give it a shot.
James?
I really don't want to do this, but... I find myself, my phones and my emails are still getting tapped into, hacked, and... when my friend Renu and I look into the energy that's doing this, it's very scary energy, it's a very dark energy. Great, see, there they are. And I need it to end, and
I guess the question is, how do I end it? Who's doing this? And it just, I've tried so many different ways to cut cords and everything. I'm just tired of it. I need to move on.
Well, the who and all of that, from our perspective, is we're not even going to go there. That opens a bunch of things that are not important. Right now, especially, many people on your world are having to deal with their darkness in their own way. And for some people, it's coming up through various things that are happening in their lives. There's a myriad of ways that it can play itself out. So for you, it has to do with very old belief systems about your own empowerment that come from traumatic experiences. We would say, going back to Orion, where in a sense you learned a pattern of disempowerment that you've been not understanding how to emerge from. And so when these things happen to anyone, you can say they're called in, so to speak, to give you the opportunity to shift yourself in your consciousness and move to, you could say, a different frequency where those things are not called in anymore. So we know the question then is, well, how do I do that? And this is probably the age-old question, because it is a vision quest in some ways. It whatever this means to you when we say this will be unique unto you, but it is a calling by your higher self for you to go into your own darkness and really start seeing the things in there that have not been wanted to see. Some of it might be this life, some of it might be other lives. And we're not talking about seeing it from an intellectual way, we're talking about viscerally feeling it and owning it and letting it be your teacher as a method to purge it from your energy field. It's really the only way. You've heard the way out is through. And that is what's being called for you right now. And yes, we're going to put an optimistic twist on this, but the fact that it's happening is almost like an honoring of spirit, in the sense that it's saying, okay, you are ready to move to the next level, so you now have to walk through this doorway to get to the next level. So here we're going to present it for you so that you can do so. Does that make sense?
Eventually I think it will.
Yes. Yes. But do you understand the basic idea? That all reality is called to you for a reason. There is never anybody out there doing anything. There might be people in costumes taking actions that appear to be influencing you, but if you are all the one consciousness, you're just playing with yourselves, so to speak. Sorry about that. And sometimes we didn't see that one coming, it just came out of the mouth. So as you start to recognize that whoever these actors are in costume who are messing things in your life, that they are part of the one getting you to wake up to a new level of yourself. If this was really clear about, oh, I understand, okay, I know exactly what to do, then you're not really going to go through it. You can only go through it because it's in the dark. The journey is in the dark. You can't see in the dark, but you still have to journey through the dark. So the fact that you can't see it means nothing. The more important thing is the willingness to dive in. And you know, everyone here has been talking about your amazing abilities with manifestation and with moving energy and things like that. But yet, sometimes where we think our weak point is the point where we think that you can't move anything, or you can't see anything, or you can't shift anything. My people were stuck in that for a very, very long time, which is why I say we. I include myself in that. There is always that dark place, that blind spot. The blind spot exists because you're supposed to learn to navigate in the dark. So that's why you have to go into the dark to learn that navigation. So as we're talking, we know your mind might not be understanding what we're saying, but we can feel you actually so hooked into what we're saying. We can feel it's being transmitted. Even if it's not understood, it's okay. You're very close to shifting it. You're very close. Go into it. Go into it deeper. Okay?
Sasha and Jane, mind if I assist a little?
I don't mind.
When you get hacked, what is the first feeling that comes up?
This demonic energy around me. That's,
could we call that demonic energy powerlessness?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Fear?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like the resolution is to go find something external to take care of this situation.
Yeah, that's fair.
And there's the paradox, because there is nothing external that's going to change it. So what are you looking for inside of you? You're looking for the empowerment, the recognition of your own power in this. And it hasn't been found yet, but yet you have all that power. So you're searching for a part of you to take care of this situation, which is holding the belief system that something out there is after you. Take that now, the powerlessness and the inability to control what's going on. Take those deep into the quantum. Because the powerlessness and all the other emotions that go with it, they're part of the seven roots of the unconsciousness. As you take those in there, you're going to find you're looking for you. But you've done it opposite. You're looking for an external solution. So as you take those in and hold those, it changes around. Why? Because sitting in powerlessness is the worst thing we can feel. Sitting in the middle of unworthiness and fear and all of these elements of the seven roots of unconsciousness, it's intolerable. But when we embrace them and we allow them to be, we no longer begin looking for external resolutions, because it breaks through inside of us that we're looking for these things in ourselves, the resolution. So you start to feel your quantum superposition, your fulfillment, your peace, your empowerment, even though you have no power. We don't have any power, but we're not really a physical being. So there is nothing to change it except the consciousness and the belief system. That's what we're working against. And then it changes. When you're okay with, it's like your belief system of walking the rainbow. When you're okay with and okay without, it manifests. So the resolution manifests. Your ability to anchor into who you are across everything, and the perfect peace and balance. You let go of the fear, the victimization, and the inability to control. because you accept it. You accept the illusion. Those will take you into the empowerment by not running anymore, but accepting.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you, Ron. You're very welcome. That resonates from both of you, and I'll have to listen to this a few times before it fully sinks in.
Yes.
Take it into the quantum and find it. Find the feeling of it. And it'll take you the rest of the way.
Yes. Not much more we can add. Everyone's powerful in their own way, all right? You are a very powerful being, specifically in that you, in many lives, and even in this life, have had the capability of really influencing the physical reality. But that means that that power can also influence in a negative way. And the power of belief systems very often influence in a negative way. So this situation is like one of those negative manifestations of your inner power, but your inner dark power, so to speak. Dark, doesn't mean evil, we're meaning hidden, we're meaning unrecognized, unhealed. That's what we mean. When this gets healed within you, your power, your internal power, is going to be channeled in a very different way. And a lot of the projects and things that you've wanted to do in this reality will feel very different because there won't be that split. All right. They just said that's enough.
Thank you both so much.
You are very welcome, my dear. Now, Michelle, do you want to use your card? All right. Well, we kind of grabbed it from you, but... You can save it for another time.
I'm not sure what to ask right now.
Okay. We are available. Next time you can use the card. We'll give you what do you call that? Free pass? Rain check, yes. Yes. All right, so everyone?
Did you go? No, she gave me one. I felt good about that.
Okay.
I have way too many questions. So.
Okay.
I'll take a rain check too, though.
All right. All right, then. Thank you for Mr. Ronald.
I have a card. Earlier today, you were talking about the lottery. On a more serious note, I'd like to use my card on the... Well, some people have mentioned that they seem to see a Star Wars Kardashian neck. I was wondering.
Star Wars and Kardashian are not compatible.
Star Trek, the darkest Kardashian.
There you go.
No, I don't really have any questions.
Ah, it was just a stand-up routine. Okay. All right, my friends, thank you so very much. And actually, we'll be hanging around all day because of work you're going to do later, too. But we'll bring Lisa back, and you can move on. So it has been a great honor for us to share in your journey. And may we say, without freaking any of you out, because it's your last day. Oh, no, not really your last day.
Module 5.
That we are so very... proud of you. That's not even the right word, but the work you've done over this year and the amount of growth we have been watching. And even though you might be looking in the mirror and seeing the same old you and wondering, oh, I still carry this pain, it's hard to see your own progress and it's hard to see your own growth, but you have grown leaps and bounds and it's only going to accelerate now. But you have to tend the garden. Jenny, you have to tend the garden. Okay? So keep tending the garden, keep watering the garden, keep supporting each other. And the next time we meet, well, it could be anywhere, but you will see a new you. Much love to you and a fond good day.